So today we're continuing our series on contagious gratitude. Contagious gratitude. We're going to take a look at the word hallelujah. How many of you have heard that word more than once? Yeah. Hallelujah. I hear it all the time. I hear it on TV. People who aren't even professing to be Christians, they say it. Hallelujah. It's kind of become a word that just means yippee, right? Woohoo. That's kind of what it's become. And I have a challenge for you. If anybody who likes, I don't know, M&Ms or Three Musketeers or whatever kind of candy. There's Skittles in here. There's Nestle Crunch. I have a challenge for you, a question for you. How many of you can tell me within five how many times the word hallelujah is in the Bible? How many times within five? How many times? Don't look it up on your smartphone. I know. Yeah, you hit the Bible gateway. How many times do we find the word hallelujah in the Bible? No guessers? Nobody wants candy today. Okay, back here. That is actually within five. So you win. Come and get a piece of candy. Yes. Can you believe it? I really thought it would be way more. Actually, in the King James Version and the New Living Translation, it's found zero times. But in the New International Version and the New American Standard Version, it's found four times in the book of Revelation. Isn't that, I know, that's exactly what I look like, Stephanie, when I found that out. She has this puzzled look on her face, like, what, really? Look it up, it's interesting. Because we assume it's all the time in there, right? So what does hallelujah mean anyway? Yippee! That's not really what it means. Doesn't mean woohoo! It is a word that is, I don't know if I can say this about every language, but in many languages it crosses language barriers. So the word hallelujah is hallelujah in many languages. So that's kind of interesting. But what does it mean? Well, I looked it up, and in the original languages, it's actually two words put together, halal and yah. And you have a note page. If you want to take notes, it's there. If you don't, there's no pressure. You don't get extra points or candy or anything for taking notes. It's not like that. It's just an aid to you. But the word halal is really interesting because it has four different components. But to the Hebrews of old, that word halal, you can't separate one out and say, this is what halal mean. And I was trying to think of it. And think of sand art. You know how when you put colored sand in a container, if you tried to pour it out again, you could never really separate it effectively again. Because once you, that's how the word halal is. But there's four different colors to the word halal. The first one is what lamps and celestial bodies do. Shine. Shine. Condense it down to the word shine. Another way to say it is flash forth light. I thought of paparazzi. You know, I mean, if you were walking down the streets of Cleveland and all of a sudden you saw a group of paparazzi flashing forth their light, you would be like, who is that? What's up? And you'd want to get closer to see. You know what? I think that's what Sunday mornings are supposed to be. I think it's supposed to happen outside of Sunday mornings too. But I think church services should be us flashing forth light. Paparazzi gathered around God going, whoa, look at that. So that's one of the colors. The second color is to praise, to offer congratulations. Congratulations, God, you did a good thing. Congratulations, God, you're great. I love the way you did this. I love the way you're with me. The third color is a container for praise. Isn't that interesting? A container for praise. And then the fourth color of halal is songs of thanksgiving. Can't separate that out from the rest of them. It's all connected. It's all woven in there together. Halal. Now the word Yah is very easy. It's just a short abbreviated definition for Yahweh, God. So when you put halal and Yah together to praise God. That's right. To shine forth God. To be a container that shines forth God. So it's like the words, oh, I don't know. If we put two words together that have never been together before, super M&M, right? You would know right away what I was talking about, even though you had never heard those two words put together. It would be a ginormous M&M, right? When the Hebrews heard the word hallelujah, halal, yah, they knew it was to praise the Lord. It came together. So then I did a research on how many times the words praise the Lord are found in Scripture. Because if hallelujah means praise the Lord, how many times is that found in Scripture? 94 times. 94 times in the New Living Translation. Every translation varies, but it's 94 times. That doesn't include the number of times in the Psalms where David says, praise the Lord, praise him here, praise him there. You know, it says praise him. I just looked up the specific direct phrase, praise the Lord, 94 times. 57 of those were in Psalms. So I thought, well, that's interesting. So I'm giving you a lot of information today. Normally, I give you down two or three points, you know, keep it short. I'm giving you a whole lot of information today because I really feel like some of you are going to want to go home and look through these points and really study them as you prepare your heart for Thanksgiving. Because you see, I believe so strongly that we will become thankful as we choose to see the goodness of God. We won't have to tell ourselves to be thankful for Thanksgiving. We won't have to go around the room at our table in Thanksgiving. What are you thankful for? Although that's a beautiful thing to do for families. But I think we will have something to say quickly if we look at the goodness of God. And to me, praise the Lord, that's what you do with praise the Lord. You look at the goodness of God. And David was such an example of this. I have so much admiration for him in Scripture. Because we see, what I did is I looked up those 57 times in Psalms, and I condensed them down into four categories, because that's how I like to do things. I'm just wired that way. And the four different categories I found, the first one was, he would praise the Lord in a circumstance. Like I was talking about a few minutes ago, some of you are in a circumstance. Sometimes it's a good circumstance, and sometimes it's not so much a good circumstance. You're in good company. Paul in the New Testament said, three times I asked the Lord to take away this problem from me, and he said, no, it's really in your best interest for it to stay the way it is. That's the circumstance. And then Paul said, I've learned to be content no matter what the circumstance is, right? So I put all the circumstances down that I found, but we're not going to read them all because that we would be here till like 3 o'clock. But I wanted to provide them for you, so if you want to look at them later, you can. When he was running for his life in Psalm 7:17, he praised the Lord. When he was standing on solid ground in 26:12, he praised the Lord. Now, I want to look at a few of them, though. So the ones that have asterisks by them, that's a hard word to say. Psalm 28, 6, and 7, I want to look at that one. Psalm 28, if you want to look with me on your smartphone or on the screen or in your Bible or however you want to do it. Listen to this one. Praise the Lord. And I like the exclamation point because I'm an exclamation point girl. If you ever get an email from me, you will find at least one exclamation point. I just like them. I just do. So praise the Lord, for he has heard my cry of mercy. The Lord is my strength and shield. I trust him with all my heart. He helps me and my heart is filled with joy. I burst out. There it is. I burst out in songs of thanksgiving. When? After he says, praise the Lord, for he has heard my cry of mercy. You don't need mercy if things are all going your way. You need mercy when things are not going your way. And that's what we see here. I love that. He made a decision to praise the Lord instead of waiting for his circumstances to change and then praise the Lord. That is such a powerful tool. If we could really wrap our hands around that one, it would be amazing the exploits that we could accomplish. I mean, it's what Doug was talking about. And by the way, I want to have the first copy of your commentary when it comes out, because I really liked your commentary this morning. Didn't you like that when he was reading? I liked his little commentary on it. But that's what Doug was talking about when he was talking about Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat made a decision, because someone prophesied to him to do so, that if he will send the singers out and praise the Lord, his love endures forever, the battle is the Lord's. And so many times I try to fight the battle, and God says, stop it. Stop fighting. Let me fight the battle. I'm better at it anyway, and I don't get tired. And I'm still trying to fight the battle. I got to fight the battle. It's up to me. If it is to be, it's up to me. David here makes a decision. I'm going to praise the Lord because he heard my cry of mercy, for mercy. And then number four, he has shown me the wonders of his unfailing love. Oh, I love that so much. Psalm 31, 21 through 22 says this. Praise the Lord, for he has shown me the wonders of his unfailing love. He kept me safe when my city was under attack. In panic, I cried out, I am cut off from the Lord. But you heard my cry for mercy and answered my call for help. You see, I am so convinced, because of my personal experiences and others that I know, I am so convinced that if we have a divine love encounter with God, a lot of our questions are going to fall away. A lot of our misunderstanding is going to fall away. A lot of our confusion, a lot of our discouragement, a lot of our, oh, I need to know point B before I take point A. No, that falls away when you have an encounter with the wonders of his unfailing love. That's how it's worked for me, I'll tell you that. That's how it's worked for me. When he was in deep grief over the loss of his, or over his son, he praised the Lord. When he was recounting the history of his nation, he praised the Lord. When he met with God's people, he praised the Lord. In the house of the Lord, he praised the Lord. And then the last one that I have listed is, God did not let our enemies' teeth tear us apart. And you know what struck me about that one is, you had to be close enough to see his enemy's teeth to know that he didn't let the teeth tear him apart. Isn't that funny? David says, praise God, he didn't let my enemy's teeth tear me apart. Praise the Lord. I told the elders at our meeting on Thursday last week, I said, probably in the last 6 months, I've had these two parallel worlds going on at the same time. And in this side over here, there's trouble, there's confusion, there's pain, there's problems, right? On this side, there is a lot of really good stuff happening in the spirit, but they're happening simultaneously. And you know what I feel like? This is screaming for my attention. And this is where my strength and joy and hope comes. Not here, here. I believe we have a choice, guys. I believe God gives us a choice. Last week we talked about, do you see what I see? What are you going to look at? What are you going to focus on? What is your conversation going to be about, this parallel part of your parallel world or this part of your? You see, we remember that David wrote these beautiful psalms that still inspire us today. We forget the conditions of his life. He pretty much was forgotten by his father. He was mocked by his brothers. He was rejected and tried to, his surrogate father tried to kill him when he succeeded. Figure that one out. He ran for his life, much of his life. Then when he was able to stop running for his life, he suffered the death of a child, more than one child. He suffered through his sons trying to kill each other. He did not have an easy life. And somehow we forget that a testimony comes out of a test. A message comes out of a mess. We forget that, and we just want to get past the mess to the message. We want to get past the test to the testimony. And I think the testimony comes when we decide to praise the Lord and focus our energy and passion and attention on this part of the world and not give this a lot of energy and attention. I'm not saying live in denial, because that's not a luxury that I have. I don't know about you. This screams for my attention sometimes. And so I do what I need to do quickly, and then I get back over here. I take steps that need to be taken, and then I get back over here as quickly as I can. It changes your life when you can do that. It really does. I'm not saying I always do it right. Sometimes I am in a mess over here. I'm like, ah, this is awful. Crying, and my kids are like, are you crying again? Yeah, I know, it's just a movie. I just cry easily these days. And I find myself getting embroiled in this. And God says, come away with me. Come away with me and be my love. Come away with me. Trust me with that. Trust me with it. I'll tell you what to do, when to do it. No sweat. Not pretending it doesn't exist. Not, you know, la, 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 Mary Poppins. No, not like that. But come over here. And then over here, I'll tell you how to do what needs to be done over there. But over here, stay over here. Stay over here. David also praised the Lord when he had found descriptions of God, descriptions of God. And I'm telling you, if you're having trouble in a circumstance, the best thing to do is to look at a description of God. That's why I wanted to give all these to you, because if you can focus on what is true about God, somehow your circumstances diminish in size. David said, praise the Lord who lives from everlasting to everlasting in Psalm 41:13. He said, praise the Lord who is on my side. Woohoo! Psalm 56:9. How many of you need to hear God is on your side? Sometimes you just need to hear that, you know, and you gotta remind yourself, yep, God is on my side. God is for me, he is not against me. Whew. Praise the Lord who keeps his promises in 56:10. Now look over at Psalm 68:19. Psalm 68:19. You might as well keep your hands open to Psalms, because that's where we are the whole time today. Psalm 68:19 and 20. Boy, do I love this. I put it on Facebook a couple of times, I think, because I love these verses so much. Psalm 68:19 and 20. When you ascended to the heights, you led a crowd of captives. You received gifts from the people, even those who rebelled against you. Oh, my goodness. That's one that's for the... I have a question mark by that one in my Bible. God even receives gifts from people who rebelled against him. I don't even understand that. Wow. Now the Lord God will live among us there. I love this. Praise the Lord. Praise God our Savior for each day he carries us in his arms. Each day he carries us in his arms. Our God is a God who saves. The sovereign Lord rescues us from death. What a beautiful description of God. He carries me in his arms every day. He carries me in his arms. David also said, praise God who is the source of life. If you need new life in your life, go to the source of life. He's the source of life. And then Psalm 72, 18 through 19. Psalm 72, 18 and 19. Look at that one really quick. Praise the Lord, the God of Israel, who alone does such wonderful things. Praise his glorious name forever. Let the whole earth be filled with his glory. Amen and amen. God alone does the wonderful things that we know of in our lives. Sometimes we just got to think about them and dwell on them and meditate on them. Who alone does such wonderful things. Number seven, praise the Lord who is good and faithful, whose faithful love endures forever, like Doug was talking about this morning. Number eight, praise the Lord who has great love and does wonderful things. Number nine, I love this one. Oh, praise the Lord who gives the childless woman a family. He is so good. Psalm 117, 1 and 2. Psalm 117, 1 and 2. Praise the Lord, all you nations. Praise him, all you people of the earth. For he loves us with unfailing love. The Lord's faithfulness endures forever. He has powerful, unfailing love. Then the last one in this category, praise the Lord who is my rock, who trains my hands and fingers for war. I love the detail there. He trains my hands and my fingers for war. You look at a description of God, and you burst out in songs of thanksgiving when you look at how good he is. David was also, we've talked about this one before, so we're not going to dwell on it a lot. David was the king of self-talk. He was the king of self-talk. That's the third category I found in his praising the Lord, in his halal yah. I found that he told himself a lot to praise the Lord. He said, at all times, we're not going to look at these, at all times, I will praise the Lord. And number two, with all of my heart, with all of me, I will praise the Lord. Number three, may I never forget the good things he does for me. Oh, we got to look at that one. Psalm 103, I can't resist that one. Psalm 103, because sometimes we just got to remember all the good things he's done for us. Let all that I am praise the Lord. May I never forget the good things he does for me. And then he goes to list the good things God has done for him. Look at that this week. It is so good. It's so good. And it builds your faith just to read that. He forgives my sins. He heals my diseases. He did this. He does this. He does this. He does this. And then David's like, I'm going to praise the Lord because he does amazing things. The next one, let all that I am praise him. I will praise the Lord. As long as I live, I will praise the Lord. And then with my dying breath, I will praise the Lord. Do you hear the confidence and assurance? You see, he had been through the mountains and the valleys. And he said, I will praise the Lord. Whether I'm living or whether I'm dying, whether times are good or bad, I will praise the Lord with all of me. It's like a decision had been made, and he just wasn't willing to compromise on that. So how does that kind of praise become contagious? Because we're talking about contagious gratitude, right? David was also amazing at encouraging others around him to praise, to give thanks, to praise the Lord. He made job descriptions for people just so they would praise the Lord. No, I'm serious. Look at it in Chronicles. It's so interesting because he actually said, okay, these people, their job is to stand before the Lord and praise him. That's their job. And some of you are like, sign me up. I would love to get paid and stand in the temple to praise the Lord 8 hours a day. Wow. Or how many ever it was. He made it contagious. He made a decision to praise the Lord so often and tell himself to praise the Lord and point out the descriptions of God so often that people around him, they just became praisers. They did. So the last category is encouraging others to praise the Lord. Number one, he told godly people, sing praise. Sing praise. Number two is really good. I want to look at that. Psalm 102, verses 18 through 22. Let's look at that one. He lists a whole bunch of things about God before this, and then he says, let this be recorded for future generations so that a people not yet born will praise the Lord. Tell them the Lord looked down from his heavenly sanctuary. He looked down from earth to earth from heaven to hear the groans of the prisoners, to release those condemned to die. And so the Lord's fame will be celebrated in Zion, his praises in Jerusalem, when multitudes gather together and kingdoms come to worship the Lord. He says, you know what? It's not enough for me just to spend my life praising the Lord. It's not enough. I want to write down the deeds of the Lord so that people who aren't even born yet will praise the Lord because of what they read. That just takes it to a whole different level. I mean, I have begged my dad to write a book. I'm like, Dad, you have so many experiences that I know. I've heard the stories, you see. My kids have heard some of the stories, but they haven't heard as many stories. I want future people who haven't even been born yet to know the stories of our history, to know the legacy of what they come from. Because that's how important praising the Lord is to me. I want a people not even born yet, my grandkids who haven't come yet, you know. I want them to praise the Lord because of what they know about our history. I love that about David. Oh, my goodness. Number three, he told the angels to praise the Lord. We're not going to read it, but that's funny. You can laugh if you want. Go ahead, laugh. Really, it's okay. He told angels. Now, angels are in the presence of God. They really don't have to be told to praise the Lord. But David said, angels, make sure you praise the Lord. I think that is so cool. And then he went on to say, everything that's ever been created, praise the Lord. Everything that's ever, have you been created? David's asked you to praise the Lord. Wow. I think he had such a taste of the goodness of God, he couldn't contain it. So he said, I'm going to praise the Lord, but I really think it would be great if we all praise the Lord. Because there's so much goodness to share, it's just bubbling out of me. Wow. All servants of the Lord, praise the Lord. All nations, all people. Let's look at that one. Psalm 117, 1 and 2. Psalm 117, 1 and 2. Oh, we already read that one. We read it twice, right? That's a good one. We read it once already. All nations, all people. How about those who serve at night in the house of the Lord? Praise the Lord. How many of you have ever been in this building alone? Midge has, Judy has, Rich has. Yeah, a few people. I have for sure. If you're in this building alone, you notice every creak and every sound. And it could get scary if you let it make, doesn't it? It is loud. Rich doesn't get scared because he's a big, brave man. I get scared. I hear those sounds, I'm like, whoa. So you know what I do? I turn on music to praise the Lord in my office and I blast it. I'm like, whatever's going to happen is going to happen. Woo! I do. There have been times people have come in the front door and I didn't even know they were in the building because I was praising the Lord in my office. I've had people come around to my window and have to knock to get my attention because I'm too busy praising the Lord. It's a good thing to do at night in the house of the Lord. Number eight, those who see God's goodness, celebrate him with music. You see, I believe that there are times when I'm really good at seeing his goodness, and there are times when whatever whatever reason, my view of his goodness gets clouded. And that's when I need somebody around me to step up and say, I see his goodness. You want to hear about it? We all need each other. We need each other here. Because there are times when I'm strong and there are times when I am weak. And there are times when you are strong and there are times when you are weak. And we got to get past this concept that we can't admit that we're feeling weak. God help us. That is so hypocritical. Stop. We got to get transparent with each other. We got to get real with each other and say, I'm having a hard time right now. So somebody can step alongside me and say, it's okay, because I see his goodness enough for the both of us right now. So I'll share it with you, and in a week or two, I might need you to share it with me. If we're not willing to be transparent, though, we miss out that whole element. We miss it. We do. And I believe those who see God's goodness need to celebrate him with music. And then the last one is Israel, priest, Levites, all who fear the Lord. David says, please praise the Lord. If you're a priest, shouldn't have to tell priests to, but that's all right. He does. Levites, all who fear the Lord, all of the nation of Israel, praise the Lord. Judy Walker had posted something on Facebook last week, and I loved it so much. It was one of those pictures that has a quote on it. It said this: when you're looking for joy, how many of you are looking for joy? I lost joy. I can't seem to find it anywhere. When you're looking for joy, you will always find it hiding in your gratitude. Isn't that good? When you're looking for joy, you always find it hiding in your gratitude. Ah. And gratitude comes from a place where we recognize God and his goodness, and we acknowledge his goodness. We acknowledge the fact that he's God, who lives from everlasting to everlasting, who always does the right thing, who always does good things. I shared a verse on Facebook this week that said, "The Lord is good and always does good." I mean, it can't get any more simple than that. If you are struggling, I don't know if on your job or in your family life or in your school or in your whatever it is, if you're struggling, I believe the key to truly being grateful is what we talked about this morning. Looking for ways and times to praise the Lord. Looking for opportunities to notice God's goodness and point it out to yourself. Point it out to other people. That's it right there. That's it. It is life-changing when you can do that. And if you're in that circumstance I talked about earlier today where you're just sick of it, you're just over it, that's the key right there. That's it. I don't know if you want to make a blessing book, if you want to make, I don't know how you want to go about making some changes, making some shifts in your thinking, changing your vision. I don't know how you want to deal, but I know the key is praising the Lord, looking for his goodness and dwelling on it. That's the key. That's it. Then your circumstance shrinks and God is exalted. He's lifted higher than your circumstance. God, we thank you. We thank you that you are good. Oh. God, we need divine love encounters. We need your divine love encounters. And God, you know each of us so well, you can tailor make each encounter to who we are because you made us the way we are. And you know for some that's going to mean just a moment when they encounter nature and they recognize your goodness in nature. For some, it's going to come as a little surprise and you're going to go, oh, God is good. Wow, I didn't expect that surprise. But God, I just pray for every person in this room right now, whether it's dreams during the night, God, whether it's driving in the car, whether it's putting your head on your pillow at night, God, I pray for divine love encounters to break out in this place, Lord, in these hearts, in our hearts, God. Let us be ever increasingly aware of your love and your goodness. God, do something that I can't do. I can't make these encounters happen. Only you can. But I just pray that every person in this room will open their heart to you so that when you gift us with a love encounter, we'll recognize that it's from you and how good you are. In Jesus' name, amen.